about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evidence Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 29th on the West Coast, now March the 30th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military that tuned in to Drew Malone Raines, a Marine's disquisition today, got to hear me discuss the diary of Major George Racy Jordan and how we have been paying for the Cold War. We paid for World War II, and we can surmise every other war, but we paid for all sides. Kind of interesting. We know that from my research on the Scherf clan, a.k.a. Bush, or Shrub, for those of you who like to use code language. And this is an unfolding story I can tie directly with my research on Dwight David Eisenhower, a.k.a. Johann Adolf Eisenhower, from Austria-Hungary. Our country has been infiltrated for several hundred years, actually, and it's all coming out now in the wash. Currently, also, we'd like to welcome those listening in on blogtalkradio.com and let you know that Chris Story is following up on the scandal going on with Pennsylvania investments being hijacked by a rogue group of criminals, the same ones, by the way, only now getting drawn into the mix are Vice President Joseph Biden and Arlen Specter. Arlen Specter is quoted as having used the term misprision of felony, which is alluding to the fact that they know that some crimes have been committed, and Mr. Specter is not reporting this to the authorities. Kind of interesting. They're dancing around the question. This is all related to $6.2 trillion attempted to have been stolen from Michael Cottrell's Pennsylvania investments. This money was to refund the U.S. dollar and get some programs going, and that was being put into the authority of Michael C. Cottrell, who is the president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary of his company. He does not have a secretary named Salvatore R. DeFrancesco, who is a well-known mob figure. And it appears that Mr. Specter may have some ties with this character, possibly even Joseph Biden. Biden originally is from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he's, of course, living in Delaware, was living in Delaware anyway, where he took a Senate seat, and he affectionately called himself, according to Chris Story, Pennsylvania's third senator. I'm sure there are a few other ones hiding in the wings somewhere as well. This is a tremendous story. It's bringing out a lot more corruption. While this is going on, the short-legged Mac Daddy is in Afghanistan, and he's got a group of people. Hillary Clinton and Janet Napolitano are two who are in Mexico. Are they trying to work out some kind of a drug deal, or is it pharmaceuticals? We'll never know. But I have a feeling that heads are going to roll over this dimension of this financial corruption. Now, we're going to be talking with tonight's guest about some financial corruption in a different area, and this takes place in the courts. And a recent death of a well-known person from the state of Georgia, who was very outspoken about tonight's topic, is highly suspicious. It's been determined that the death appears to be a murder-suicide, isn't it always suicide? And we're going to get into that a little bit with tonight's guest. He is our regular Monday night guest on Evident Footprints. He hosts his own show Monday through Fridays on Republic Broadcasting Network. His show is called The Story Behind the Story. This is also a naturopath and certainly someone that you can talk to about health. He is also a prolific writer, author, journalist, and our guest tonight, my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much, Don. It's a pleasure again to be on this show. I always look forward to Monday nights to spend our time talking with you and your guests and your listening audience, of course. So thanks so much for having me on again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And we had a great show last week, and I'm still hearing from folks that are just reveling in the fact that we went an extra half an hour, and they didn't want us to stop. They said they could have listened for 3 hours.
So that's awesome.
Hopefully we leave them with the same feeling tonight. I know you wanted to talk about the death of Nancy Schaefer, and I have a clip. If at any time you would like me to play this, it's her account of what tonight's topic is about.
Yeah, I just kind of want to preface this. I've got 4 hours of interviews lined up tomorrow and on Wednesday with victims of Child Protective Services. Talking with them, Don, I just can't express the outrage that I've heard from them. And there's more than one person that has come forward and has had the links of these, again, not all CPS groups are tied into this, I'm sure, but there's enough bad apples to spoil the whole bunch that are basically taking these young infants that are from poor households and basically selling them. And many of these young children just are never accounted for and are satanic ritual victims. This is an amazing discovery that I had heard about before, but I hadn't really gotten down into the nitty-gritty of this. And yeah, you bet. It's an absolutely critical cancer on the public group right now. I mean, so yeah, let's go ahead and give a preface of Nancy Schaefer.
Okay. If I can preface my comments or the clip with a couple of comments that I have been studying this for 4 years, investigating what's going on in Cook County, Illinois, Lake County, Illinois, Maricopa County, Arizona, up in your neck of the woods in Salt Lake City. There's a money laundering ring that's tied to the real estate and the mortgage collapse, actually, as well. And this is the criminal impoverishment of anyone who is struggling to keep custody of their kids, either coming out of a divorce proceeding, in an attempt to institute the layout of whatever the divorce decree demands on the part of whatever spouse is supposed to make child support payments or insurance payments, those types of things. They go after all the assets of the party that has the most money. They give the kids to the abusive parent in many cases. They drug the kids. They collect thousands and thousands of dollars on each one of these children. They steal their identities and they flip properties in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of what they do. I've interviewed Dr. Sheila Mannix, who founded the Illinois Family Court Accountability Advocates, with Karen Maringer, and a number of years ago. She's been fighting the courts for years. They've taken her house. She spent more than $1 million. So it's not always the poor. They also go after those that have money. And those were assets that she had set aside to found her own Montessori school. And, you know, she's got a PhD in let's say, clinical psychology, but in the sense of managing businesses, making businesses successful by putting the right components into it. And they thought she was the heiress of the Rand McNally fortune, so they went after all of her money. And, of course, they ruined the kids' lives. So, yes, I want to get into this. You were going to add something before I played this clip.
Well, yes, and the threats and the actual murders that as you said, the special prosecutors that look into this are, this is the highest rings of Satanism operating in these CPR rings here, CPS rings.
CPS. Yeah,
CPS. So yeah, the murder of Nancy Schaefer, she was sponsoring meaningful legislation not only in her home state of Georgia, but was getting some strong support on Capitol Hill in D.C., I understand. And, oh my, it's just a sad day that we have this happen. So, yeah, just if you would want to go ahead and play that clip at any time.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, and we'll be right back with you, folks. Don't go away now.
Our next speaker is Senator Nancy Schaefer. Nancy? Oh, there you are. Yes, Nancy is a longtime EvaFar member and leader. She has had an organization called Family Concerns, which is very effective all over the state of Georgia, and another one called Family Concerns Pregnancy Center. She has been in the Georgia State Senate for several terms and is a member of 6 Senate committees. Please welcome our good friend, Senator Nancy Schaefer.
Thank you, dear Phyllis, and thank you to all of you. I have served in the Georgia State Senate for 4 years. One of my greatest pleasures, other than my sonogram bill, was getting the resolution passed to stop the North American Union. However, for 4 years, I have been confronted with families struggling to remove their children from the clutches of Child Protective Services. I wrote a scathing report last year on the corruption in Child Protective Services, and an update and copies are out on the table. During the last session of the Georgia General Assembly, I introduced Senate Bill 415 relating to juvenile proceedings, and copies of that bill are attached to the report on the tables. The bill 415 called for the time allotted for the Department of Human Resources to provide emergency care to a child without a court order to be reduced from 7 days to 72 hours. It required a court order to enter the residence of a parent or guardian to seize a child. It called for family court to be open to the public. Confidentiality and secrecy in family court protects the wrong people. It provided that immunity in the system shall not extend to the seizures of children that are found to be in violation, nor to the administration of medication to a child over the objection of the parent or custodian, and it provided the state from applying for obtaining, receiving, or accepting adoption incentive payments under the Federal Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997. The Department of Child Protective Services has become a protected empire built on taking children and separating families. This is not to say that there are not those children who do need to be removed from wretched situations and need protection. However, my report is concerned with the children and parents caught up in legal kidnapping. Having worked with probably 300 cases statewide and hundreds across the country, and in nearly every state, I am convinced there is no accountability in Child Protective Services. I have come to several conclusions. Two or three are, one, that poor parents, not always, but oftentimes are targeted to lose their children because they do not have the wherewithal to hire an attorney and fight the system. That caseworkers and social workers are very often guilty of fraud. They withhold and destroy evidence. They fabricate evidence, and they seek to terminate parental rights unnecessarily. That the separation of families and the snatching of children is growing as the business grows because state and local governments have grown accustomed to having these taxpayer dollars to balance their ever-growing budgets. That the bureaucracy is huge. Look at who is getting paid. State employees, attorneys, court investigators, guardian ad litems, court personnel and judges. There are psychologists, therapists, psychiatrists, counselors, foster parents, adoptive parents, and on, all are looking to the children in state custody to provide job security. That the Adoption and the Safe Families Act, set in motion first in 1974 by Walter Mondale and later in 1997 by President Bill Clinton, offered cash bonuses to the states for every child they adopted out of foster care. In order to receive the adoption incentive bonuses, local child protective services would need more children. They must have merchandise that sells, and they must have plenty so the buyer can choose. Some counties often offer $4,000 to $6,000 bonus for each child adopted out to strangers, and an additional $2,000 for a special needs child. Employees work to keep the federal dollars flowing. But that is only the beginning figure in the formula in which each bonus is multiplied by the percentage that the state has managed to exceed its baseline adoption number. Therefore, states and local communities work hard to reach their goals for increased numbers of adoptions for children in foster care. As you can see, this program is offered from the very top and is run by Health and Human Resources. This is why victims in Child Protective Services get no help from their legislators. It explains why my bill, Senate 415, suffered such defeat in the Judicial Committee, and why I was cut off at every juncture, and why I was defeated myself last month for my reelection by another Republican. That tax dollars are being used to keep this gigantic system afloat. Many grandparents have called me to get custody of their grandparents before being lost in the system. Grandparents who lose their grandchildren to strangers have lost their own flesh and blood. The children lose their family heritage, and grandparents, and parents too, lose the connection of their heirs. And that the National Center on Child Abuse and Neglect in 1998 reported that 6 times more children died in foster care than in the general public, and that once removed to official safety, these children are far more likely to suffer abuse, including sexual molestation, than in the general population. Think what that number is today, 10 years later. Here are a couple of the recommendations on my list. Call for an independent audit of all state child protective services and for a federal congressional hearing on child protective services. Abolish the federal and state financial incentives that have turned child protective services into a business that separates families for money. I have witnessed such injustice and harm brought to so many families that I am not sure if reform of the system is even possible. The system cannot be trusted. It does not serve the people. It obliterates families and children simply because it has the power to do so. What I have said to you in these few minutes is that we must confront the fraud in Child Protective Services. Child Protective Services seizes children using the very system that is paid for by the taxpayer who actually believes it is used to protect abused and neglected children. The bureaucracy of workers benefit financially by a system that converts children into cash while destroying their families and their lives. No child who emerges from the system can ever be sound or whole. Many disappear and never are ever heard from again. God will not stand for what is happening to our children and our families. His heart beats for these children. He will lift up the downtrodden. What is happening in America regarding child protective services is a criminal political phenomenon, and it must be brought to an end. Please join me in working to help set our children and our families free, to whom much is given, much is required. As you pray for this nation, pray for the upcoming election, and for our national financial crisis, please pray for our children and for our families. We all must press on and win this race for America. Thank you very much.
And that was the late Senator Nancy Schaefer from the state of Georgia. And I think, True, we should dedicate this show to her memory, if nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, the more I get to know what she was doing and standing for, absolutely courageous. And she had received quite a few threats of violence against her. But as you said in your email to me, there have been more than one person that said you leave CPS or CPR CPS alone, or you get a bullet between the eyes. And it appears that's exactly what happened to her.
Yes, and I can tell you that this is just scratching the surface. Now, this program has the finders written all over it. The sale of children is one aspect of it, but she didn't mention the judges, and I think we should at least mention that there are pure trusts set up as Delaware corporations with the names of judges and attorneys on them, and the judges get a cut of the action because there's an enormous amount of money that is collected all throughout this process. Really, it's the criminal impoverishment, the intentional criminal impoverishment of these families. In the case of Dr. Mannix, who I mentioned, she had $1 million to defend herself, and I think she told me she had spent about $400,000 on attorney's fees when she learned that the attorneys were playing the game with the other side. The attorney was not interested in helping her. They were all conspiring together to get every penny she had. And last year, unfortunately, toward the fall, she finally lost her home. They took that. And she has been defending herself in court as a pro se litigant. She has become an expert in the law. Judges have resigned. Some judges have been killed to send a warning to other judges that they better not fail. And the Greylord operation that Sherman Skolnick exposed years ago has the daughter of one of the judges that was convicted in the courts doing the same thing. And they try to turn these people into terrorists after they've taken all their money and destroyed their families. It's a shame, and it has to stop. And I'll be quiet and let you say whatever you want to say.
Well, you're absolutely right. And we just, I'll be exposing this on my show tomorrow and on Wednesday with not only people that have fought the battle in the courts, as you've said so well, Don, but we're actually going to be interviewing family members that have had the horror of all this hit them fully. And so I get first-person responses to this. But, you know, I got to tell you that I had a run-in with CPS in my prior hometown of southern Utah. And it was a bizarre thing, and I'm still to this day shocked at how brazen they were and how my rights as a parent were just trampled on. Here's the story. My son at the time, my oldest son, was just right at his age of puberty, about I think it was 13 or so. And you know how kids get at that age; they seem to want to lose a little bit of their their common sense and want to test daddy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't hit my kids. I'm not violent. I don't believe that. But sometimes when they're way out of line, you need to get their attention, you know? And on this case, you know, the family was all ready to go to a wedding. We were out of town. We had two motel rooms. The boys, I have two sons and two daughters. The girl stayed with my wife, and I act with the boys in the motel room. So we were all ready to go. The boys and I were upstairs in the motel room. My wife and the daughters were down in the second level at car level. Okay, so we were all down waiting impatiently for my oldest son to come join us to get to this wedding reception, and I was performing there. I was doing the music for it, so I was late anyway. 10 minutes goes by, 15, and Daddy's getting a little bit antsy. So I sent my other son up with instructions to tell him to come down immediately, or he'll be in trouble big time if he doesn't come right down. Everybody's waiting for him. Well, he didn't want to do that. Went up the stairs. You know, he fussed and groused about that. And I said, you get up there and do what I'm asking you to do. So he slammed the door, runs up, you know. And about 5 minutes later, he comes down the steps and he says, he's not coming, Dad. I said, no, that's not acceptable. If I have to go up the stairs, there's going to be heck to pay, you know.
Sounds like a shotgun wedding is about to take place.
Well, my blood boiled over, and so I 5 minutes later, by this time it's over 20 minutes, so I go up the stairs to see what the heck is going on, and I go up, I take the key and go up in the room, and he's laying on the one double bed, queen bed, watching a movie, HBO movie. And I said, what are you doing watching a TV? And he said, it's almost over. I said, no, it is over. I walked over and turned the television off. And he jumps up with his fists, you know, cocked and took a swing at me. And so when he swung at me, I reached over, grabbed his arm and twisted him into a, you know, a bear hug and just, you know, sat down with him and subdued him. And I grabbed a piece of his arm skin, and basically the more he tried to fight, the harder it got tweaked, okay, to get him to settle down. And finally he started crying. He said, I said, don't you ever try to swing at me, boy, or you'll be in trouble. Now get your butt down and straighten yourself up. And anyway, he goes right to my mother-in-law, Joan's mom, and tells her this terrible story about how I hurt him badly, left a bruise on his arm, and the next thing I know, she's covertly called Child Protective Services. And unbeknownst to me, Don, they pull him out of school with a CPS agent and a police officer, and give him the third degree about what happened on this, what they call an abusive event. And he told him what happened that went on. The next thing I received a phone call that they need to meet with me at my house. And they come up and basically said that they verified a case of child abuse with me. And I'm sitting, what are you talking about? And they said, did you cause a bruise on your son's arm? I said, what? You calling that child abuse? And he said, and again, the guy, the CPS agent is an overweight, kids just fresh out of college with a college diploma and a bad case of acne, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He has the gonads to come into my house and basically tell me I'm an unfit father, and he's completed an investigation, and I'm guilty of child abuse. I'm shocked as I'm hearing this. And I said, well, I disagree that that's abuse. I mean, it's a good parent that sets guidelines and disciplines a child. And he says, well, no, Mr. Ott, you're a child abuser, and you're required to go to a parenting class for the next 8 weeks. And he's ordering me to take a parenting class. I'm looking for a candid camera video. This is a joke. Are you kidding me? You come into my house and tell me that I have to take this parenting class? Oh, it's very, very good. It'll teach you alternative ways of disciplining your child. And I said, okay, who's going to be teaching this class? He says, I am. I said, no offense, but how many kids do you have, sir? I mean, I don't have any. I says, are you even married? He says, no, sir. I says, you're not even married, and you're going to be teaching me how to parent the kids? I said, look at your face and look at your body. Nobody will marry you.
And probably nobody wanted to go to his class either.
I says, I think this discussion is over, sir. And then he says, you're not listening to me. You have to take this course or we'll come in and take your kids. I said, excuse me? He says, yeah. He says, you're ordered to take this class or we'll come in with a written and take your kids away from you. We have that authority. And then I says, oh, so you want to have another Ruby Ridge event, huh? You better come with your guns drawn to try and take my kids, because one of us is going to be dead if you try and take my kids.
Don't you find it a bit suspicious that they got one side of the story?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sitting, and my wife, Joan, she's saying, calm down. I said, you're going to either get out of my house now or be thrown out of my house. You come back, you better have a judge's warrant and a judge's order, because your say-so isn't mean diddly. How dare you come in here and threaten my family? Well, what happened, his superior there in Iron County happened to be a fellow I knew very well in my neighborhood, and his name is Kyle. He called me up and says, what happened? Did you throw him out of your house? I said, you're darn right I did, and he's lucky he didn't get his nose broken. He sits there and threatens me and has this egotistical, where'd you find this bird, Kyle? Oh, well, we'll settle down, but, you know, he's causing all kinds of problems for you. He's got the sheriff and everybody else reporting that you physically threatened him, and he's trying to get a warrant for your arrest, and on. I said, well, you know, my attorney is Keith Ayler. You come and talk to Keith before you ever have another sentence spoken to me. And that's where it came out. There's this citizens group, right? Includes the police chief and the sheriff's office. They have a regular weekly meeting with the Child Protective Services. And lo and behold, they came and sent me a registered letter, said I have an anger problem and I have to attend an anger management course. I said, again, I had my attorney contact him and said, who gives you the jurisdiction to declare that my client has an anger problem? You need a judge's order, and you need a due process of law. You just can't come out there and start making these accusations. And when my attorney, got involved, it went away completely. Again, it's just strong-arm tactics and threats and deception.
Yes. And now, in the case of these underprivileged families that can't afford legal representation, and let me just reiterate that that doesn't guarantee that anything's going to get worked out in the court. Both sides play along with this thing because they all make money at it. And I could do several shows just on Dr. Sheila Mannix's own personal case, where judges said things like, "I'm not going to stand for the law in this court. We will not speak of the law. You will do what I tell you." They would throw her out of the court and carry on the case with her being thrown out of the courtroom in the escort of sheriff's deputies. And these same deputies would go to the houses of various victims making threats. We got a report from the judge that you threatened the judge. And these were fictional charges they were bringing, but they were using intimidation tactics on single women that whose only interest was getting their family back, you see. It's really a scandal. It's of humongous proportions. And it's been exposed to an extent when a tiny little woman, 5'3", can go into a courtroom and cause these judges to run from the bench and go home and not come back. Some of them have been murdered, too. You find on the weekend that a particular judge, James Donegan, fled the court, went into his chambers, was met by one of these strong-armed sheriff's deputies, and probably read the riot act about how he handled himself on the bench. This guy ends up falling down his basement steps with a broken neck.
Really?
Yeah. And that's just one case. There are other cases. So this is organized crime. It's another element of organized crime running this. And in Arizona, it's the Sicado crime family that runs the database. They use the Promise software that you so often talk about.
Wow, there you go. Well, what do we do?
Well, there's the aspect that you wanted to talk about, which is the underprivileged families. There are some families, for example, in Illinois that have 7 children taken away from them. They've done absolutely nothing wrong. We're not even talking about telephone calls or discipline problems. They just find out that this guy works, his wife works. They have babysitters or relatives watching the kids, and they just figure that they're sitting ducks. And there's a pretty well-known case occurring right now in Illinois where all the children were taken away from the parents for a number of years. It's destroyed the family. You see, these are communist tactics.
Exactly. Yep,
and of course,
exactly.
Yeah, you could say fascist, but this is the intentional destruction of the American family to the benefit of criminal enterprise. And these are being reported in the courts, and you want to talk about misprision of felony that I brought up at the top of the show. The judges are committing this. These court-appointed, and you heard Senator Schaefer mention this, the guardians ad litem are part of this. Child psychologists. Sheila Mannix had her case running for 7 or 8 years, and these people never signed in to the court. They never signed in as present in the court. They were getting paid, but they never sent a bill to anyone. Where does that money come from? Okay, and I tracked down huge millions of dollars going to dummy corporations being set up. And I was tracking specific divorce cases. There was a Polish man married to a Polish woman. They were legally in the country. This guy was given several SBA loans through the state of Illinois to run trucking companies, and they were bulletproofing cars and shipping them overseas. And the guy had 2 houses hidden in the divorce case. Both of them were over $750,000 in value. So he had $1.5 million in two houses. He remarried, and they ended up taking the kids. She all except for one, and they threatened her with taking the last child and the house if she made any more waves. This is the tragedy that people are going through in their lives. Meanwhile, this guy is like going bankrupt and being cited. His trucking company was cited across the United States. It was tracking it down, and he supposedly had a subsidiary of his company in Poland. They were funneling money to Poland, and we had some people in Poland look up the address. Non-existent. Non-existent. And I began tracking all of the SBA loans for one period, 2006 and 2007, and I found millions of dollars going to companies that didn't exist. Now, these programs are run through Mayor Daley's office and Ed Burke, who is the head of the Democratic Party. His wife is now on the Supreme Court of Illinois. You want to talk about a fix? So that's a microcosm of this. This is going on in every state in this country and probably in every county.
Right. Well, yeah, cause like I said, it hit home to me in a small way, but luckily I didn't have it escalate into something far worse. I just couldn't believe the jackbooted attitude of this young kid, and that's what got me. He had no family, no children, but he's the expert to teach me how to discipline my kids. And it wasn't as if I guess what shocked me, Don, was I said, "You mean grabbing him and holding him and pinching his arm as he struggled his abuse?" And his response to me was absolutely. You are not allowed to lay a finger on your child.
Even though he swung at you?
Yeah. So I was just stunned. I said, are you kidding me that's wrong I didn't beat him. I didn't whack him with a stick or anything else. Or I didn't, you know, we could have, though I was very angry with him. You know, I love my children. I don't want to hurt them, but they, you know, there's certain points in time where you need to let them know who's the boss.
Absolutely.
And he said, well, no, there's other ways to do it, and there's better ways. I says, well, are they proven? Who's deciding what's right and who's wrong on this? And we went into this debate. Obviously, he's the expert. I'm the idiot, and I have to, because I'm now a confirmed child abuser. I have to take this class. Unbelievable! Unbelievable.
Yeah, that this whole process occurred without a hearing.
Due process. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they can come and pull my kid out of school with a police officer and have them testify against their dad.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know that your son would have done that had the police not been involved. But certainly, you know, he was looking for sympathy. And, I don't mean to say anything nasty about your mother-in-law, but, you know, we have all these stories about mothers-in-law. And certainly, they love their grandchildren. That's any grandmother loves their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And but to take sides, you know, if I don't know, I don't mean to sound judgmental, but to me, I think there is a lot of overreaction there. You know, I'll get back at my dad. You see, you know where they get this? They get this in school.
Oh yeah.
This is where they get this. They're learning how to disrespect authority. Of course, they want them to listen to them in school, and they do get in trouble for not listening in school, but what they're teaching them is to disrespect parents and the institution of the family.
Right.
And, you know, that's a communist tactic.
thought it was just amazing, and to see how it all unfolded was I said, you've got to be kidding me, you saying that my generation that grew up, I mean, I told him I grew up in the 60s. I came, you know, I feared what my dad would do to me more than getting in trouble in school and getting a paddle on the butt by the principal. I had one swat on the butt because I smarted off in shop class, and I knew my dad would have a whole lot worse for me when the word got back home what happened. And then you know what his response to that was? Well, see, there you go. You're a victim, and you have no, you are a product of violence in your home as well, so you have to keep this violence going. This is why you must go to this class and be trained how to do it with nonviolent discipline, as he called it.
I suppose part of the class delved into waterboarding.
I'm sitting here. Did you just call me an unfit person because my dad disciplined me? And he said, "Yes, you're a victim, and you have psychological scars, and you need to heal from all." And this guy's nuts. I want him out of my house. You can't possibly believe this. This is justifiable in America, right? And then he says, "Well, we'll come back. I'll come back with the paperwork, and we'll take your kids out of your home, place them in foster homes." Mr. Rod, you are a confirmed child abuser. Oh, I said, "Well, I'm serious." I said, "You're going to have to come with your guns drawn because there's going to be a shootout if you think you're going to take my kids. End of story." Oh, you've got a real anger problem, Mr. Hot. I can see that now. I said, "You better get out of my house while you can still walk." Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing. Now, I wonder how many of the listeners out there are listening to this and saying how ridiculous this is. You see, is there any difference between that and creating false charges against somebody without a trial, throwing him in a gulag, or in an institution where they're drugged and tortured? And we hear accounts of this all the time. Every day we hear accounts of this. Or look at tasing or tasering, okay?
Right.
Tasing is in the schools. Tasering. Stopping someone and they're upset that they've been stopped, they haven't done anything wrong, but they're being grilled, papers please, and they get a little bit, you know, hot under the collar about the situation, and then they're ordered out of the car, and while they're getting out of the car, they're electrocuted. That isn't violence. Isn't there another way that they can handle that situation?
Well, you got to love them out of the car. You got to just say, "Please come out." I don't know. I didn't went to the class. I was so stunned and shocked by his superiority complex, looking down his nose, and then I'm trying to be reasonable. I said, "Well, I had image of a grandfather figure teaching parenting. When I found out it was this bozo who didn't look like he was old enough to wipe his nose, I said, I have better things to do with my time than sit here listening to you give me crap. No, where's your judge's order? I said, I'll recognize the court if I have a chance to give my side of the story to a judge. You give me before a judge, and if a judge orders me to, then I'll obey that law. But until then, get the hell out of my house." You know, and luckily it didn't escalate. I brought a very powerful attorney into the mix. But I demanded to know what was said and what was in my whatever record they have, police file or whatever, and they refused. Here's what the other thing of this was: they refused my attorney's request for copies of what went into my record.
Mm-hmm.
Was it that secret from me?
Yes, well, you're entitled to see that, but remember now, you're living in a police state, you see. I mean, it's quite evident that they'll make these determinations behind closed doors without your knowledge, and then you'll be confronted with it.
There you go. That's exactly what happened. And this was, a good 15, 16 years ago, Don. It was in the early 90s. And so, yeah, I can just imagine how much it's evolved now with these social engineering programs.
Yes. Now, you're going to be, I don't know if you want to give us a little tidbit of what you're going to be discussing on these upcoming shows that you alluded to, in terms of some of the victims.
Sure, we can do that. There's a, the family is, their last name is Travolino. Okay, we'll be talking about them, what happened. The they've even had so much harassment. Their mail has been opened, intercepted. Same way with the agents just harassing them in the stores, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll have the primary gentleman we'll have on for the first hour tomorrow his name is Mike Gibson. Mike is actually now an expert witness. He was going to be on for the full 2 hours, but he has to be to a court case where he's testifying against a CPS. And so, yeah, he'll be talking about all of the case histories he knows personally about. So, yeah, it's quite a complex story, Don, as you know.
Yes. Go ahead.
We have Donna Trammell as well. Donna will be in the second hour tomorrow. Her husband is now deceased, a state police officer for 30 years or so. But she's been very much taking on the system as well, just like our state senator, deceased.
Okay, now, we have someone that wants to join in on this conversation with us.
Absolutely.
I'm not getting through, so I don't know. I'm going to try again here and see if... okay, I think we made contact here. Although I'm not hearing anybody, so...
I'm here.
Oh, okay. This sounds like Ken Adachi.
Yes. Thank you, Don. I just wanted to call in for a minute. Dr. Don, I'm so impressed by the story you just relayed about this incident. I had no idea, but it was just a wonderful anecdote to hear, in so much that you captured so many elements of what is at the heart of the difficulty that we now see with child protection services, of the training that these individuals are given, particularly these young individuals. They're absorbing this training given to them lock, stock, and barrel, not apparently understanding how far they are going beyond the constitutional authority to behave in the manner that they do. And to think that somebody who can be so successfully brainwashed has that much power and authority under, you know, the current law enforcement system should be terribly concerning to everyone in the and often abuse innocent people in this country, and they wind up getting tasered to death over some nothing experience. And many, too many people have essentially CPS goons busting into their home, taking their children from them without the proper authority to do so. But apparently they can get away with it so easily with poor people who don't know, who simply accept this braggadocio as, you know, as genuine authority. And I was just so taken to hear what you had to go through with this fellow. This, there has to be a national awareness movement taking place to go to the heart of this this training these people are getting, where they're being brainwashed, of course. But for a young guy with that kind of authority not to even know that he needs a judge's decision on this, that he alone can he has the hubris to go in there and the stupidity to tell you that, whoa, we got the authority. My God, this is an outrageous state of affairs. And
well, yeah, absolutely.
So
and that's what I told him. I said, you want to break up my family that because of one bruise on the arm of my oldest son who came after, you know, swung at me first, and you think this is not going to scar them emotionally, all of them? How dare you come in and attack me this way? I will fight you and fight to the death to protect my family, my home and hearth. And I let him know that. And he was like, you have such an anger management problem. Oh, you have anger management, you know, you get out of my house now or you'll be thrown out.
Yeah, this is what you hear. This sort of mindset is what you hear in certain liberal universities and colleges across the country. It's kind of a, I don't know, a quasi distillation of feminist political ideology mixed in with 1960s, 1970s, let's say New Age thought about rearing children. You know, there used to be a, forget the name of the guy, but Gutenberg, I think. He was head of some organization in the 60s and 70s in which they were, it was a Planned Parenthood type of organization, but I just can't remember the name of it. But they were having a lot of influence nationwide on the university level in this notion of, you know, like, well, the state sort of should be the ultimate arbiter of how children should be raised. This is Nazism. This is what the Nazis were trying to do.
Well, absolutely.
You know, in the 1930s. Yeah. And as Don correctly says, this is a tried and true communist technique. They want to destroy the American nuclear family, and they want to separate the bond, the loyalty, the heart connection between parents and their kids, and they want to make us these isolated unisex robots, you know, that they've tried so hard to, you know, and they try to instill this mindset through these university level sociology courses, child raising, etc. You get popular authors who are, you know, feted on television and radio as, you know, leading lights in the doing. And oh no, I mean, it's just remarkable that you brought this out. I'm going to use the audio from this show. I have a page devoted to CPS concerns and, you know, problems, and I'm going to put this interview you had tonight with Don right at the top of that page. So I won't take any more of the show. I just had to say this and to thank you for taking the time to go into that story. You really did hit the heart of the matter.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate that. And it is a huge problem, as you'll see on the, when I interview these with my guests tomorrow on my show. I had no idea how tragic this thing really has come to be. And I've talked to my guests before, it's like there are instances in a really truly abusive situations where the children are not being nourished correctly. There has to be a safe halfway house for that circumstance, and I'm all for that. But, you know, at what point do they have the dictatorial powers to come in and take away children, because there's a personality conflict, you see.
Let me stress, True, if I may and can, that this is done under the pretext of protecting the children, and yet the children are drugged, they're abused, they're placed into foster homes where they're molested. Many, you know, in the case of Dr. Mannix, one of her sons attempted suicide in the school. He was so heartbroken by what had happened. All he and his younger brother wanted to do was be reunited with the mother. They were left with the abusive father. The reason she divorced the man was because of the abuse to her and the children. And we're talking about psychological and physical abuse. And the kids lived daily with threats. If you talk to your mother, I'm calling the police. If you talk to your mother, you're going to be put in jail. Those types of statements. This goes on over and over again. And the kids now are labeled as dysfunctional. And so when they come forth to report that they've been abused or that they've been exposed to drug usage by these foster parents and the guardians ad litem or the psychologists or the psychiatrists, who are conveniently kept off the record, even though they're getting paid under the table, you see. This is about crime. This is about theft of millions and millions, let's say billions of dollars. And when you add the real estate, you might as well go into trillions.
Wow. Well, we'll shine some light on it tomorrow, Don. I'm glad you again we hit a topic that that you have an upper hand on with on your research again. Amazing that this correlates so well. So yeah, I got to tell you that I had one of my listeners on the show email me with the request to expose the CPS problem. And I kind of ignored it for a couple weeks because I didn't think it was a problem. But I'm wrong. It is. It's a huge problem.
Well,
and now,
feel free to patch me into the show if you need some of this background information.
Well, you can listen in, and you're sure welcome to call in. Nancy, again, Nancy Schaefer, God rest her soul, and her husband as well, who was suffering from cancer. I think they're going to just do the usual cover-up, murder-suicide. He suicided himself and murdered her first. That's typical what happens with these cases, as you know, Don.
Yes, yes. Ken, I want to thank you for calling in, and I want to let the listeners know, Ken Adachi will be my guest this coming Wednesday, the 31st, so you want to be sure to tune in for that.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Dr. Ott. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ken. Be safe.
All right.
Okay. Well, Dr. Ott, we're out of time. It's a difficult topic, of course, to discuss, and we're all touched by this. Certainly, it smells like a rat, to tell you the truth. Immediately they're saying it looks like a murder-suicide. It looks like one, but is it? That was what it was intended to look like.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yes.
And how is it that someone devotes their time? And I can tell you, I'm not going to commit suicide. Okay. So, and I'm the one looking into all this corruption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anyone had a reason to, it would be me because of what I know. Okay. And I have no intention of doing that. And I'm sure Nancy Schaefer didn't.
Yes.
I didn't know her. But I heard the conviction. She was nearly in tears as she talked too. You know, that was a video that I played. And in fact, you alerted me to that. I was aware of her stance, in that. And this is another aspect of this too, is that when they organize national, seminars or conventions, where they have speakers who talk about these abuses. It's mostly men. They exclude women, and Sheila Mannix had to fight her way into an event that took place in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. This was right before she lost her house, and she actually captivated the audience because she has a photographic memory. She can recite what the court documents say, what was said in the courts, who said what judge she had on what date, when she filed these briefs. She's amazing.
Hmm.
And they were certainly shocked, yet they had to pull her off the stage because they didn't want any women speaking. So this is being something that's actually being squelched, in a sense. We do have a caller on the line, so I guess if you have a few more moments,
sure.
We'll take a call from Eve in California. Eve, welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hi, Dr. Ott.
Hello,
Mr. Nekoloff. How are you guys?
We have a very bad connection there, Eve. Can you try speaking into the receiver, the mouthpiece?
Okay, can you hear me better?
Oh, that works. Okay, yes. I thought you were holding the phone like Barack Obama in that one photo, you know, where it's backwards.
No. I'm trying to talk right into the phone. I'm sorry you can't hear me well. But I just had a few stories of personal relationships with friends that have gone through what you gentlemen have been talking about tonight. And True probably knows one of them, but I'm not going to mention his name on the air. He had a 14-year-old daughter that he was studying with, and she had her legs up on the top of the couch, and she didn't want to study anymore. So, she got real frustrated, and she kicked his arm, and he had a coffee mug in his hand, and the coffee went flying. Well, that incited a little bit of anger on his part, and she took off and ran into the bathroom. Unlocked the door and called her mother, and they're divorced, and the daughter's living in both places, and called the mother. The mother called the cops while she was in the bathroom, and within a matter of 15 minutes or whatever, the cops start banging on the front door. Well, this man that I knew, worked for the government, and he understood the implications before anything happened. So he instructs his daughter, who's still locked in the bathroom, that the cops are at the front door, and that she better get her story straight, and she better tell the truth about what happened. And if she wants to tell a different type of story, then she can be removed from the house, and she won't see her father anymore. So before she came out of the bathroom and whatever kind of story she told her mom to get the mom to call the cops because of, the incident that happened in the house, she realized that she could be removed from both families, which was her mom and her dad. And, fortunately, he had the wherewithal, to set her straight before she went to the front door because the cops wanted to see her and they wanted to see him. And she explained the story, and fortunately, it didn't go any further than that. But that was very lucky, very lucky. And I had another family friend who had two children that were of about 12 years old, 11 years old, that were going to a particular after-school event where they played soccer. And one of the substitute teachers noted some bruises on the child's arm. To make a long story short, he reported it, and to make that long story short, these children, both boys, were removed from the house because they thought the parents were abusing the children. The grandmother stepped in and said, "I'll take the children." "Oh no, you can't have the children." And mind you, both of these families were well-to-do families in Orange County. And both boys were removed. The father was a military pilot. They were removed for several weeks. When the children came back, they were traumatized. And dad could never lay a hand on them for anything. They were informed that if either parent were to touch them, they were to report to Child Protective Services.
And what was it about their escapade with Child Protective Services that traumatized them, Eve?
Well, I never found out what happened, okay, if they were drugged, or all I know from the grandmother that I knew, okay, told me that when these kids came back, that they were traumatized, that they were scared that they would go back, have to go back to, you know, to this chapter of, you know, Child Protective Services. And Child Protective Services had informed them that if either parent were to ever lay a hand on them, that they are to report it to them. So, and the parents were also educated to the fact that they can never, you know, they can never lay a hand on their child again. And needless to say, that the marks that they had on their arm were probably from their soccer practices or, you know, or sports, because they, both boys were in a lot of sports.
Mm-hmm.
They played a lot of sports, so the bruising could have come from that, okay?
Right.
They never determined that the father had beaten or anything like that. And
yeah,
I don't believe
I've heard of stories
where
the kids themselves got in fights in school, and because they knew they were going to get in trouble with the parents, they blamed it on the parents.
Well, maybe it got twisted that way, but the odd thing was is that I heard from, you know, the grandmother is that this was a substitute teacher who wasn't around the children but only this one time and saw this, and just that simple one-time notation was able to send up a red flag that had those two children extracted from the household.
Yes. Well, this is a travesty.
And you're looking at, like I said, he was a military pilot, and she was a working mother, and we're talking about very well-to-do families. This was probably in, you know, like about 1999, 2001, something like that.
Yeah, we're talking about the same time frame also, like the example that I used coming out of Cook and Lake Counties in Illinois. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they have
mm-hmm.
a huge, huge court there in Cook County. Hundreds of judges. It's amazing. It's a factory.
It's a racket. It's a real racket.
Yes,
and it's just like, you know, what Dr. Ott said, you know, it was just a simple event that escalates into an unbelievable story of abuse that it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. And it has to be stopped.
We can rest assured that the health care reform is going to take care of this, right?
Yeah, right.
Eve,
right.
I'm going to have to let you go, but I want to give Dr. Ott a chance to respond to your comments, if I could.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
Good
you.
Evening.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's, again, a very typical story. This seems to be more the norm as opposed to the exception, Don, as I'm finding out. Again, there are cases where CPS does a good job and protects some children, but it seems like the majority of the stories that I'm hearing are indeed major horror stories. And just seeing how far they can go and push the envelope and get away with trampling on parental rights. And that's the key issue here, mm-hmm. as we know. So, yeah, that's something I'll be exploring more and probably having follow-up interviews on my show as well on this subject. It's pretty hot.
Well,
pretty hot
you know,
subject.
we give good prosecutors and good judges and good government employees a bad name when we describe what's going on, but I can tell you there is no justification for plotting to take away the home of a family. There's absolutely no justification in that other than that it becomes part of their organized crime syndicate.
And it just takes one or two of those, they get away with it, to ruin the whole structure of, you know, one bad apple does spread the poison throughout the barrel. And that, so they need to be incumbent upon themselves, Don, to police themselves, it would seem.
And
stop this. And that's what Nancy Schaefer was all about. As you really look and dig, as I've done today, into her story, she had some very, very, very good, positive reforms that any reasonable American would absolutely, you know, vote for. So why was she murdered?
Yes, and you know, they've done this, in closing, they've done this to many doctors. They've brought up similar charges to what you described yourself. I know of one particular doctor that moved out of Illinois to another state to get away from the attempt to continue this, to drag this out and bring new charges against him.
Wow.
All in the, with the goal of getting any money they could out of him. You know, they pay fines, they pay attorney's fees, and it's always the same verdict. They always take the kids away. And then they fight, you see, because they know if they really show an interest in keeping their family together, they know that they'll spend every penny they have, and they'll take it. They'll lie and cheat. In the case of Dr. Mannix, she had court reporters. She had people there reporting the proceedings, recording and taking notes. And these people were arrested and charged with assault on the officers and, you know, these trumped up charges. This
right.
is how they handle this. It's all intimidation. And it has to stop.
It does. And we'll try and make it happen.
Well, I want to thank you for putting in the extra time tonight. And sharing your personal story along with some others. I want to encourage people to go to your website, meminerals.com. See, I remembered.
Good job.
And you have some great books there for them to read as well. And I encourage folks to go there. You're not trying to sell anything on the show here, but I'm telling you that that Dr. Ott's the real deal. And certainly tune into his show. Your showtime airs in the East from 2 to 4 p.m., 1 to 3 Central, noon to 2 Mountain, and 11 to 1 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, on republicbroadcasting.org. Anything else you'd like to say?
Very well done. Thanks again, Don, and we'll have to get you on my show again at the earliest possible convenience. There's always great things you're coming up with. I'm losing my voice. I've been talking all day long. I apologize.
Well, you get some rest, and especially if that guy comes around, you want to have some vocal cords left over.
Yes, sir. I'll let him have it.
All right. You have a good night, Dr. Ott.
God bless you, Don. Thanks.
All right, you too. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Drew Ott. And he'll be with us again next Monday, so be sure to tune in for that show. Tomorrow night, my guest is going to be Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael's not been with us for the last couple of months. He's been very busy, and we've had so many different guests and such deep topics that just not enough room to squeeze him in. I had Dr. Mike Castle scheduled for the show because of the passing of a family member. He could not be with us tomorrow night, so Michael Anthony has graciously agreed to accept an invitation to come to the show on very short notice. So you're going to want to tune in and listen to what we talk about tomorrow with Michael Anthony. Ken Adachi will be with us on Wednesday, and as I already mentioned. And so over at BBS Radio, we want to thank Don Newsom on the sound and also Don and Doug Newsom for making this show possible. And most of all, Eve for calling in and sharing her stories with us. And you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.